Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please read with me together the title of today's sermon, How Do I Get Right with God? Based on our gospel reading, especially this verse, Jesus also told this parable. To some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Please follow the sermon outline provided for you in your worship folder as we consider our theme, How Do I Get Right with God? When I was in university in the USA, I once took a special class that had me living on an Indian reservation in South Dakota for 1 month. My heart was really touched by what I learned there about Native American people, both the good and the bad. One thing a tribal elder told me has stuck with me all through the years. He was explaining around a campfire one night some of the good things and the bad things some white people had done to the people of his tribe. One story he was telling was about a white man who was known as the guy who had a whiskey bottle in one hand and a Bible in the other. He was a man determined to convert these savage natives, but also he made a lot of money selling whiskey to these people whose tribe was being destroyed by alcohol abuse. The native people couldn't understand how this man could be seen carrying his big Bible to church on Sunday and then during the week doing his whiskey business on the reservation. Well, whenever we see spiritual phonies or people who are self-righteous, it's not funny. But this is especially true when the phony or self-righteous person is that person whose face we see when we look into a mirror. In today's gospel reading, Jesus told a parable to some people who thought themselves to be righteous, but treated others with contempt. That is to say, people who were self-righteous and treated others like dirt. The issue of today's sermon is righteousness. How does a person get right with God and then live a life that treats others in this way? That is, how do I get right with God? The Bible declares, in no uncertain terms, there are only two possible options. Either I must do something and trust in my efforts and my goodness, or God must do something. And I must look to him for help and for mercy. In order to show us these two options and point out which is the correct one, Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 18. In this parable, these two options or these two ways are illustrated by two men who went to the Jerusalem temple to pray. Verse 10 says, two men went into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. It was the regular hour in the temple for prayer. This was a daily event. Jewish men came into the outer temple area called the Court of the Men. In Jesus' parable, we see a picture or a snapshot of the two extremes of Judaism in his time. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee declares that he can be righteous all by himself. I can do it, could be the theme of his life. He is a picture of full-blown self-righteousness. Listen to verses 11 and 12. Jesus said, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thusly, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, swindlers, the unjust, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. How many I's did you count in this so-called prayer? Five. I. Boy, this man is full of himself. It sounds like a prayer. It begins by saying, God, I thank you. But God is only mentioned once, and I is mentioned five times. And likely, he stood in full view of others with hands raised up, drawing attention to himself. But he was not so much praying as bragging as he compared himself with others, and especially as he put down this man known as a tax collector. The bottom line was that he was measuring his righteousness with the wrong standards, the standards of man's outward appearances, not the standards of God's word. Can we fall into the same trap? Yes, we can. This comparison game could sound something like this. Well, I'm glad I'm not as bad as Joe. Or, I sure go to church a lot more than Mary. Or, I know that my family makes God a lot happier than the Jones family. This Pharisee, a religious leader in Jesus' day, compared himself with a man on the bottom rung of Jewish society, a tax collector. Who is it for you and me? With whom are you tempted to compare yourself? To make yourself feel a little more righteous. The second man in the parable is a tax collector. Let me tell you just briefly about tax collectors. They were Jewish men who worked for the hated occupation troops of the Roman government. They were considered traitors by their own countrymen. They collected more tax money that was due and probably pocketed the rest. They had a lot of money, but they had very few friends. It was this kind of man that Jesus spoke about in verse 13. He said, but the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If the theme of the Pharisee was, I can do it, the theme of the tax collector was, God, you must do it. He was completely opposite of the Pharisee. He also stood to pray, but far off in a corner. He didn't lift his arms up or draw attention to himself. He knew his sin. He knew himself. He struck his breast as a sign of great sorrow and humility. And the exact words he spoke were these. Are you ready? Our English translation doesn't quite get it right. Jesus, in this text, tells us this parable. And this man said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, not a sinner. He knew his sin was great. He knew what others thought about him. He knew he had no excuses. He was not wasting God's time by playing the religious games of the Pharisee. He came to God honestly and asked God for help. Today, it's time for each of us here to set aside the religious games that we like to play. It's time to quit comparing ourselves with others. It's time with the tax collector to face God honestly and to admit our sin, admit our need. There's a large city in the USA that once had an elevated train, something called an L, kind of like our SkyTrain, but at this time in history, this train had a conductor. One of the stops this elevated train make was near a very large cemetery, Calvary Cemetery. If you still go to the island of Manhattan in New York, you can still see Calvary Cemetery. But the train did not make a stop there unless by request, when a rider pulled the cord above their head and wanted to get off there. Just after leaving the nearest station, the conductor would come across the loudspeaker and say, "Next stop is Calvary. Train stops only on request. Anyone for Calvary?" This can be seen as a parable of life's train. At all the other stations in life, our life's train stops automatically. Market Street, School Street, Sports Street, Broadway Avenue, Church Street, Home Avenue. But to stop at Calvary means a choice and a realization of a need. Making that stop means we realize that we are sinners in the need of a Savior who on the cross of Calvary died to pay for our sin. Today, each of us needs to stop our life's train at Calvary and to quit playing those religious games with the Pharisee in the temple. These religious games we like to play at Church Street and Home Avenue. It's time to confess that we are sinners and we need God's forgiveness. It's time to say honestly those words of the tax collector in the temple, "God, have mercy upon me, the sinner." This tax collector answers the question of today's sermon, how do I get right with God? Now, we, like the Pharisee, can try to do it ourselves. Or we can take to heart the words of Holy Scripture that tell us otherwise. Passages like Isaiah 64, verse 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." Or perhaps Psalm 49, verse 7 and following, "No one can redeem his own life or give God a ransom for it. The ransom for life is costly, and no payment of man is ever enough." The truth is, we cannot make ourselves righteous, but God can. And listen how he did it. Isaiah 53:4-7 says this, "Surely he took up our infirmities. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. We all like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid upon him the sin of us all." Of course, that passage is talking about our dear Lord Jesus Christ, of whom John the Apostle wrote in the 17th, the 16th verse of the third chapter, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Jesus is the one whose death upon the cross and resurrection from the grave forgives our sin and makes us right with God. He who was co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit gave up his rights in heaven to come to our earth, to be born a human being like us, to take upon himself our sins, to die our death, to exchange, listen carefully, to exchange his righteousness for our unrighteousness. Thinking about this great exchange, and in your sermon outline, by the way, we're on the final illustration. Speaking of this great exchange, I am reminded of an amazing book. If you've never read this book, you should read this book. Though written in 1959, it is as applicable today as it was so many years ago. The book is entitled Black Like Me. In this book, John Howard Griffin, a white man who had a great love for black people, changed himself from a white man into a black man in the deep part south of the USA in the late 1950s. This was a time of horrible racial prejudice and suffering. Griffin wanted to firsthand understand what a black man of his day had to put up with. So he darkened his own skin with oral medication, with sun lamp treatments, and with skin stains. And then by himself, he traveled through the Deep South. His story that he tells in this book, Black Like Me, is incredible. He was treated like less than a human being. There were buses he could not ride, washrooms he could not use, water fountains he couldn't drink from, stores that would not sell him food, restaurants that would not let him in the front door. He was beaten. He was jailed. He was almost killed only because he was black. All because he exchanged his quite cushy life for a life of a black man to know what it was like and to walk with them. Friends, we have a Lord just like that. His name is Jesus. He gave up all of his heavenly rights to become just like us. He took upon himself the blackness of our sin and our death. He took the abuse given to him by sin, by death, and by devil. He laid down his perfect life for our lives. He took upon himself our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness. So let me ask you, are you righteous? Are you right with God? Yes, you are. Only because of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Any person who joins the tax collector in the temple and declares honestly, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, is made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. To you who today confess your sin and your Savior, Jesus speaks these words that he first spoke about the tax collector in the temple. Listen to these words. He's speaking to you. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. May you today, with the tax collector, place your lives in the hands of our merciful Savior. And may you know that through Jesus Christ, your Lord, you are right with God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.